Matthew Trevithick describes it as a place of desperation and agony. Iran's notorious Evin prison, where Trevithick was detained until his release earlier this month. He was held mostly in solitary confinement there for more than 40 days. And Trevithick says he was regularly questioned in interrogation rooms that had dried blood and cracked tiles on the floor. At one point, an interrogator wearing a surgical mask pointed a camera at Trevithick and gave him one last chance to admit that he'd been trying to overthrow the Iranian government, which he says he had. Trevithick was an American student studying Farsi at Tehran University. He was one of five Americans released earlier this month. The other four, including Washington Post reporter Jason Rezaian, were part of a controversial prisoner swap negotiated between the U.S. and Iran. And Matthew Trevithick joins us now from New York. Welcome.
Yeah, thanks so much. It's great to be here.
Well, I wonder if you could first take us back to the day that you actually got arrested. Where were you exactly, and what happened?
So I was arrested, you know, just outside the a dormitory for foreign students and married students at Tehran University, and I was actually on my way to buy my ticket home when three people jumped out of an unmarked car, and one questioned, "Are you Matthew?" "Yes," and into the car you go, and then we sat in near silence as a religious song played on loop, and we went to...
On the car radio or the...
Yeah. Yep, exactly. Yeah.
Now, how good was your... you were there studying Farsi, so you were you able to understand the questions they were asking you?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I think much to the gentle amusement of my interrogators, both of them, actually conducted almost all of the interrogations in Farsi. We only switched to English when my second interrogator said this was a good opportunity for him to practice his English. He probably didn't get to ask, Americans, in English all day long about their lives. So it probably was a good opportunity for him to practice his English.
So you're talking about the interrogators later on when you're in prison. Okay.
Yes,
so
that's right.
We'll get to that, but so you're on the street, you're trying to buy your ticket home, an unmarked car, men who aren't in uniform come, ask you a couple questions, stuff you in the car, and take you to a prison. At what point in time did you realize exactly what was happening to you?
As you're driving through the roads, twisting and turning, you're driving kind of down a mountain. And the range of possible locations you could be heading to is increasingly diminishing. And I think people would be surprised to learn that even while it's a very notorious institution for a lot of very valid reasons, it's not hidden.
There are
signs
prison.
To it. Evin prison.
Yeah.
Yes, and there are signs to it all over Tehran. There's a bus stop there. There's a taxi stand there. There's usually 100 people outside looking for information. So it's well known. And as we're driving down the mountain, I start realizing this is where we're heading. And right when we pull through the gates, I was saying to myself, it's about a 95% chance this is a very bad thing and a 5% chance there's just been a major misunderstanding and hopefully I can just talk my way out of it. I've been living in the Middle East and Central Asia for about 7 years, pretty much to the day I graduated from college. These things happen, unfortunately. So hopefully I can just talk and explain my way out of it.
And, you say these things happen. I mean, maybe for someone like you said, who's had years of experience there, I can appreciate that you might have taken it a little bit more in stride than someone else. But, I mean, you ended up spending 40 days in prison there.
Right, 41. I'll take every minute I was in there. It's arbitrary detention and it's a simple fact. People go missing in Iran, foreigners and Iranians. But also and I learned this once I was taken out of solitary confinement, a more typical experience in Iran than I actually realized. When I started to realize who I was sharing the building with, intellectuals, professors, artists, poets, political dissidents, that actually you can draw a very small amount of comfort for that, for going through. My name is now among a list of some very interesting people.
Well, you've mentioned a couple really major aspects of your detention. One is that you were interrogated repeatedly. Mm-hmm. What were your interrogators asking you? What kind of information were they trying to get from you?
I think I was taken for domestic political considerations. And because the objective, as I understood it, from my arrest was to put me on national television to admit that I was there to personally overthrow the Iranian government. I was accused of having access to bank accounts of millions of dollars in them and knowing where the locations of weapons caches were around the country that had been hidden. And that is what they tried repeatedly to get me to admit. I did not admit it because it's simply not true.
And you were in solitary confinement for the majority of that time, as you said.
Correct.
I mean, can you just describe to us what was your cell like? What was
Sure.
what was that experience like?
Oh, it's a very unique experience. My cell was about 6 feet by 7 feet, and I'm just over 6 feet tall myself. So that made for pretty cramped living quarters. There's no bed or pillows or anything like that. You're just in a box. That became home for 29 days.
Hmm. Matthew, it's really interesting is not the right word, but it is interesting to me that all of this was happening to you at a time where Iran is rejoining the world community. Mm-hmm. I'm not expecting or asking you if, you know, the geopolitics of the moment were crossing your mind when you were in prison, but it just, do you see how, like, it just, talking to you and getting a sense of the granular reality of what life is like mm-hmm. on the ground for people in Tehran versus the geopolitical moment that we're in, it seems like
sure.
there's such a disconnect there.
Yeah, I think parts of the Iranian government are trying, and I think that's an important part to state. I do not think there's been a sea change in our relationships on either side. I think the recent, you know, diplomacy should be seen for exactly what it is, which is a very narrow point of convergence between two countries on an extremely limited amount of interests. And, you know, to your point about the granular aspects of life there, the domestic political situation completely changed from September to December. And, you know, I'm a Farsi student, so after class you go out and you pick up the newspaper as a way to practice. And, you know, week by week, they got progressively more xenophobic, specifically anti-American and just anti-foreign in general. And you're reading these things, and when you read statements from, you know, the top leaders in that country saying we must work to root out American influence, we must work to root out foreign corruption, you know, you're standing on the street with otherwise pleasant, you know, civilian folks who are all thrilled to have an American in the city studying. And you're wondering, does this mean me? You know, when you say you're working to root out American corruption. And sadly, it actually did mean that.
Well, when you were freed, Iran also freed four other prisoners as well. And in the exchange, as you know, the United States released seven Iranians. Mm-hmm. And there have been many people, I'm sure as you well know, who have criticized the fact that there was essentially a swap. I mean, people have been saying that that just further emboldens the Iranian government to keep doing exactly mm-hmm. what it did to you. I mean, what do you make of that?
It's a very delicate situation, you know, right now in the relations between these two countries. I think that's a criticism you can't ignore. But, you know, I think it is a simple reality. You know, I'm not an ideologue on Iran. I go, you know, what I say is largely verified by my own personal experience. And I can tell you there are parts of the Iranian government that do not want a rapprochement with the United States. And, you know, I think what really struck me once I was released is Iran is a nation that's at war with itself. People who are there, people who are in neighboring countries, can get pulled into this and become pawns in, you know, three-dimensional chess that's occurring first inside Iran and second with Iran's relations with other countries. Iran, as it's discovering, I think, cannot change 36 years of behavior and kind of a at times intense or at times light xenophobia. You can't, you know, turn that on a dime. And while they may say they can and, oh, we're open now for business and everybody can come, to expect radical changes in how Iran conducts itself and conducts its affairs, I think is premature.
Well, Matthew Trevithick is one of five Americans who were released earlier this month from detention in Iran. He spent 41 days in Iran's Evin prison. Matthew, welcome back, and thank you so much for speaking with us.
Absolutely. My pleasure.